The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now for the Weekend Podcast, episode 810, it's Peter and Steve. You're right, lads.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, so let's crack on then with stocks and shares. No small talk at the start here. Let's just crack on, yeah?
Okay, fine.
Dating Steve? Okay, no, much more. But I saw you, Steve, doing an OB from one of the best locations in London, wasn't it, really?
Mm.
OB, by the way, is outside broadcast for people not in... I assume most people know that, do they? I don't know if they do, actually.
No.
They don't, do they? Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. It's not, yeah. Unless you were doing an OB, that could sound quite salacious in a way. You know, it's a bit underhanded. so, yeah, it's an outside broadcast.
That was
London.
2 weeks ago, though.
Oh, was it? I just saw it on Instagram. And, yeah, with a guy I used to live with, Ian Lee. I used to live with him in London. It's really odd. But then he became famous after I lived with him.
Because he lived with him.
Well, yeah, no, it's odd because we're both, you know, doing some stand-up stuff together in London, both skint.
He was funny, you weren't.
In fact, I won a lot of awards. not awards. When I say awards, open nights and a lot more. I was actually doing better than Ian at the time, and this is why it's dumbfounding. I decided to knock on the head because it was a hot scene and loads of comedy clubs, and you wouldn't get anywhere. You'd get like open spot at the Comedy Store. And you do well, and so brilliant. Come back in 3 months' time for another open spot. I think, what? What the heck is going on there? But I met Ian Lee doing that. We got on well, and then he moved in because he needed a place to live. And then he was there about, I think, a year, 2 years. And I decided to knock on the head, come back to Cardiff, start doing a business information system sort of degree, which I also knocked on the head. But anyway, I came back, and I remember it was Christmas time. I turned on the telly. And he's on that, you know, quiz show. They think it's all over. You know, the sports thing. It was like takeoff of a question of sport, bit funnier. And I thought, what the heck? First of all, I'm not aware he wasn't ever into sport anyway. And secondly, what was he doing on telly? So I just texted him saying, I just saw you on telly. And I he was next to Gary Lineker. Sitting next to Gary Lineker on telly. This is from being coming out of nowhere. And he said, I've started the show on the 11 o'clock show. And he was on with, oddly, he was on with Ricky Gervais, Sacha Baron Cohen, and they obviously went stratospheric, didn't they?
Yes,
but, you know, he's done very well, Ian. And so what are you recording with him, Steve?
It was just a show for the BBC.
I see. The BBC?
Yeah, the show.
What is it, BBC Radio?
Yes.
Okay, Radio what?
Wales.
Well, he's on Radio Wales, is he?
Yes.
That's what I'm getting.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the in-depth there, Steve.
No worries.
You've added a lot of colour to that picture there. It's fantastic.
Painting a picture with words.
Yeah. It's a good job you don't work in audio, Steve. Oh, you do a little bit. Yeah. Right. Behind scenes. There we are. And anyway, let's look at this thing. So I think this week, I mean, the standout faller was T-Pop, wasn't it? The People's Operator. Very disappointing update, I thought. So essentially they missed on revenue. The revenue guidance was 3.6 million. They did 3.4 million, which is not very good. The cash burn seemed to be growing rather than, you know, slowing down, as they'd said in previous updates. And also they hired... when you have, you know, a 12-month, you know, full-year results, ended the 31st December, that's over 6 months ago, you know? So a lot can happen in a business in 6 months. So what I wanted to know, because they'd given a nice guidance or update in March as to how 2017 is going, and it seemed quite strong. So I thought what they need to do now is put a lot of that forward guidance in the final results, you know, of 2016, because we know 2016, they're going to make a loss anyway, quite a big, hefty loss. But this is the recovery play, and they need to show evidence of this recovery in the new update, right? But all the... What is going on? Who is that? Who is... This is like it's like a classroom. Who is that? Steve, what are you doing?
It's not me.
Peter, what are you doing?
I'm not doing anything.
Someone is typing something or doing something. Who is it? I want to know who it is.
I'm not doing anything. You keep cutting out.
Yeah, you. It's you.
I'm not cutting. I can hear myself.
Oh, obviously, but you are cutting out.
There was a little hamster or something. I could hear someone typing something or doing something. Did you do anything while I was talking there?
No.
Peter, tell me the truth. Swear on your life.
I wasn't doing anything.
You were typing or doing anything or scratching your head or anything.
No.
Let's move over to Steve. Steve,
no.
Were you doing it?
No.
You didn't do anything?
No.
Swear on your life.
Yes.
Yes, what?
Yes.
Yes, I swear on my life.
Okay.
For a change, I'm not actually doing
anything. I got my son Monty knocking the window.
You sure it wasn't your end that was doing it?
God. Anyway, what I'm saying is, because we knew that 2016 wasn't very good, 2017 is getting better, put more of the forward guidance in the final results. But the only forward guidance they had was telling us that March and April wasn't as good as February. I thought, what's the point of that? And then,
why were their results so delayed as well?
I don't know exactly. That's always, that can be a bit of a red flag, that, you know, I think.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Mark came on the podcast and did say June has been a record-breaking month. We never had as much revenue as that. So you think there's what they need to do, the growth continues, that's fine. But also, in tandem with that, the dynamic has to be bringing down, you know, the cash burn. That has to be there. Because, like I said, they lost, 8.7 million last year. Now, if they're turning over 3.4 million, they're still losing a big chunk of money there. Do the math, you know? It's not. So they need to bring down the cash burn majorly, and hopefully the revenue grows. And that's the way it should work. So, you know, there's still hope there if they keep growing like they said they did. Because March and April, they had growth, but it wasn't as strong as February. So it wasn't like, no one's cancelled its contracts or anything, and they did put on figures, but it wasn't double-digit. So maybe mid, low to mid, or I don't know, it could be digits. But it was growing, they said. But yeah, so very disappointing. I mean, it didn't come across as a definite recovery as yet, and we're yet to see. You know, when they do a final update, we'll see. But it is annoying because it's in this market at the moment, liquidity is dried up on AIM. That's what happens when the big stocks start going down. It trickles down through the market, and even though the bigger stocks will be trading on less, liquidity is still there on the big stocks, of course. But when it comes down to AIM, that small liquidity anyway, it gets basically dried up, you know, and people stop buying, and people start selling on because selling begets selling, and so you start grinding lower. But we don't know how long this lasts for, but we've seen it before, and then you'll come into a period where it will start to rally and start jumping and rallying up. But we know this. It's about last year, threw us a bit of a curveball, didn't it, in summer, because it did rally throughout the summer, and it was a good summer, compared to normal summers. So I think people were hoping for that this year. And I didn't. I didn't get the cash. I do get the cash normally. And I even put it in my diary, end of April towards May, say, get into cash a bit more.
Yes.
Scale back. But I didn't. And this year, I've got a bit of cash, but not as much as I'd like to have. I'd like to be pretty much, 30, 40, 50% of my portfolio in cash this time of year. So then you can scoop up the bargains come July, August, September, But there we are. Anyway. Do you know what I'm getting more excited about than AIM at the moment?
No, what?
Who's doing that? Can you hear that, Pete?
I think it's your end.
You're cutting out, Justin.
I can hear a little typing noise. It's not my end. You can't even see my end. How rude.
Your end is making a strange noise.
Is it why? I haven't got anything going on here. I got, full blazing crazy full blown internet, steaming along crazy internet, I'm super fast broadband Wi-Fi. I'm hooked in. I can just hear someone typing all the time. It's like Steve's taking notes, which let's be honest,
we know that's not true.
That would never happen. Well, that's very interesting. That's very, let me type this down. Justin is talking a fact here. I'm taking this down definitely. Yeah,
so have more in cash.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, what I'm finding more exciting than stocks at the moment is cryptocurrencies.
Right.
There's so many of them. There's loads of them. But essentially, the base currency is Bitcoin, and you can buy other cryptocurrencies in Bitcoin, but you have to buy Bitcoin. But also now, Ethereum. It's the second biggest, Ethereum. and that's what's taken off. And I think it's faster. The blockchain technology used, there's a lot of currencies based on Ethereum, and there's more based on Bitcoin. But I think Ethereum is catching up, and its blockchain can process more transactions faster than Bitcoin. And so people say there's more potential there. But going back to stocks, what I did buy at the start of the week was Flybe.
Oh, yeah.
Did I mention Flybe before?
No.
Yeah, because they've had a dreadful year, right?
Yes.
And they're cutting back on their aircrafts they have. But if you look at it, right, they are now a market cap of 74 million, right? Let me just see what their revenue is. And they made a loss of 20 million last year, but that's because they had one of those, you know, like BT, a year which is dreadful. And they just, you know, just basically threw everything out there, the kitchen sink, just to get out there and say this is a dreadful year. So look, revenue was 707 million. So this is nuts, that, isn't it? So, you know, so if you look on like a 10% like margin, you know, so 700, you know, so that would be basically PE 10, sort of, you know, 70 million, PE 10, the market cap 707 million if they're clearing that. But they've got a bit of debt, and but they're improving, so they're cutting back on the, you know, inefficient routes they've got. The amount of aircraft leasing is going down. And if you look at the chart, they're at an all-time low. They're bumping on the bottom here, 30 pence. Monty's just knocking the window and just banging the window. I turned to him and just mimes, going, "Are you coming to play? Are you coming to play? Can you come to play for a bit?" No,
no,
I can't come to play for a bit. I'm talking. When am I done? Soon. When are you done?
How is Monty?
He's been in hospital. He's four, but he's been in hospital for the last 2 weeks. So he's out and about. But he's picked
up a lot of new phrases.
Yeah, it's amazing being a kid. That's all you live for is play. Essentially, that's the most important thing in your life is play. I mean, it's amazing. They have to understand that the aliens compared to humans, trying to get them to do things, you know, it's hard work. So all they want to do is play. That's to them. Yes. That's the most important thing. They get so distracted by this, even the smallest things. Yesterday, I went back berserk on him and Fred, just trying to get them to eat their food. Just start doing things, playing each other, go on the floor, get to take the food.
And reminds me of you, just
eat your food. And then in the garden, get back in here, eat your food. And it's like
I've been in plenty of curry houses of you acting exactly like that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
but it's just insane. So I quite like Flybe, yes.
What you're saying is it should have a market cap of 700 million, but in fact at the moment it has a market cap.
Well, if they got no debt, right, and, you know, their you know, revenue is 700 million, and, you know, 10% of that is profit pretty much, if you can say that. We're going to 10% margin, maybe a little. And so obviously that's 70 million. PE of 10, price earnings ratio of 10, 700 million. So, but obviously they've got some debt. But they are sorting out. They've got a new CEO in there. It's a turnaround story, you know, where they've got proper new CEO. And when you do this, when you get new management in and designed to sort it out, I always think it's a positive thing, you know, because they've admitted it's been a disastrous year, pretty much. And they did the guidance before the full year results came out. They guided to worse than actually what happened. But, you know, revenue's up from, like, 623 million to 707 million. Yeah. And so I'm just thinking...
It potentially would be a good one for our experiment, except we're 8% down in BT.
Yeah, but I know, but it's just that's the general market malaise, isn't it? And,
it is.
You know, it's... and like I said, you know, we'll sit there, wait for the dividend, and BT will pick up. It was up on... Well, we're recording this on Friday. It's up a little bit, but that's our experiment. If you've not heard of the experiment, we've done two successful trades... 50, what is it, a grand to 100,000 in 50 trades. Oh, we did three or two.
Yeah, I thought it was three.
No, we did Sky.
Easy Jet.
Sky. That's it, isn't it? This is the third.
No, I can't remember.
This is the third, yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is the third.
I think you're probably getting confused with Next that we almost got into.
Yeah, we did put a limit order. So Next has dropped, is it, Pete? Because we put a limit order there. You didn't cancel yours, did you?
It seemed not, because I got an email from Harry and Larry saying, "Oh, thanks for the order. You got some next shares now." Oh,
God, that's the kind of thing Steve would do.
Yeah, I know. It's quite nice,
isn't it, Steve? Yeah, but you know what? Where is next then? So you bought them at $39.99, did you?
Yeah.
That's not too bad, actually. So you did say, oddly, you did say a while back, AIM stocks, you have to be a bit more proactive, and you have to be on them all the time, you know? And if you bought them at $39.99, you're up then, because they're up now £40.53.
Correct.
I knew that was a good buy, see there?
Yeah.
But saying there that, the MACDs are rolling.
Textbook by me.
Yeah, but you did say a while back you wanted to get some more bigger stocks, dividend-paying stocks.
Yeah, so I'm in now.
You got Next, go. You've got Lloyds, BT. You've got BT. Look at that, Next Retail. You've got BT Telco, you've got Lloyds of Bank. That's quite diversified, you know?
Yeah, but I've pretty much picked the bottom of Next as well. So, I'm pretty much
You're a bit of a bottom-picking expert, aren't you?
I am. Next, yeah.
There we are. There we go. But that's looking good, actually, because the moving averages are very close. You know, 200-day moving average is very close, not far from the price, about 44. And so when that starts a rally, it pops above that, because it hasn't done that since... Where's it by? It hasn't been above the 200-day moving average since last year. And last time it popped above that from a downturn, it went. It's not going to do that again, though. It went from 20 quid up to 80 quid. Not bad, is it, for big stock? They pay a decent dividend as well. It's nice.
Yeah.
Any other news up this week on stocks that we own? I don't know if you've seen any. Oh, EVRH, do you see that? It's a good deal, wasn't it? They signed a deal with Microsoft VR. I'm going to have, hopefully, Anthony, I think it's Anthony, maybe Steve, from EVRH on the podcast next week. So we'll talk into that, because it sounds on the face of it an excellent deal again. You know, fantastic, fantastic. But at the moment, the market as it is, I just think, you know, this is the time when you should be holding a bit of cash in your thing, take advantage of this downturn, you know, because everything is just dragging along. It didn't help. Did you see through the week? We've had problems with trading volumes. We're displaying for like 3 days. So did you notice that, guys?
I didn't actually see that, no.
Did you, Steve?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what happened, Steve?
Yeah, my screen went white for a bit.
It went white, did it?
Yeah.
Did it went white? Entire screen?
Yeah,
the entire screen. Were you looking at the picture of a white room?
Yeah, it was a Word doc.
That's why. It. He's opened up a Word doc and stayed in it for half an hour. But look at that, it's fantastic. That's a little Word doc there. Shut that down then. Just shut it down, do something else. No, but there was a problem from London Stock Exchange, and they couldn't update trade volumes. So there was no trades at all being shown for 3 days, which is annoying, because it's always good to see buyers and sellers go through and see what the volume is, you know, compared to average daily volume. And so it was, that added to the liquidity drought, you know, so it was annoying. But EVRH, good news. Anything else? Did I talk about...
No.
Go on.
No, I was just going to say, for me, my portfolio is a case of every good stock where I've making some good profit is kind of tempered a lot by a bunch of others that are dragging it back down. So I'm very kind of even.
I'm down massively since Teapot.
It'll come back, Steve.
It will. Listen, where a lot of, and this may sound odd, where a lot of people make mistakes, not that I'm an expert here on AIM, is that they sell at the bottom.
Yeah.
And you've done that before, Steve.
Yeah, and
you've got to have the guts to you know, to weather that out a little bit, because there will be a rally. You know, it may take you longer, and it's a classic of a lot of short term trades turn into long term investments. You have to hold them. Oh, it's a lot. I'll put that in the drawer, and obviously I'll put that in the drawer for a couple of years. It's fine. And
seems to be a lot of my portfolio is in that situation though.
But you're a long term investor, Steve. You're not a dirty trader. You know, long term investor. Yeah. That's the way to look at it. And it will rally. I've just had a bit of dabble on two more stocks. I was chatting to Smudge Dan on the Friday podcast, and he was talking about Braveheart Investments and what else is there? Flying Brands. And I knew about them because I've researched them before. But because, you know, they'd been rallying, I didn't bother. and now they seem to be at decent levels. I've just bought a little, you know, just took a dabble on them, and they're worth looking up. I mean, they're worth doing some research on. This Flying Brands is FBDU, and Braveheart Investments BRH. But yeah, really micro cap, you know, 4 million and 2 million market cap. Yeah. But in the med tech sectors, which I quite like, really. And Trevor Brown, the guy behind them, seems to know his stuff. And, you know, Braveheart Investments makes a profit, you know, of like, it's only 4 million. They've got £1 million in cash. And it makes a profit of about £780,000. So, you know, they're not going to go to the market all the time for placings. And on the edge of having some, you know, a bit of blue sky tech there, because it could really take off.
So they make a profit of 700 grand and their market cap is 800.
No, they make a profit of 780,000. Right. They've got cash of 1 million. Right. And their market cap is 4 million. So, you know, if you look at that, it's nuts. I mean, so if you're in a PE of 10, pretty much, on 700, yeah. it should be, you know, 7.8 million market cap, you know? And they've also got cash there. So worth looking into. BRH, Braveheart Investments, you know?
Braveheart, that's right.
They've got three sort of investments that are worth looking at. Paritech, I think, is one. What's the other one? I can't think of them now. But worth looking. But ones are called. It's called Organ on a Chip, which is like you can rather than using animal testing, you can use organs on a chip basically, and you can simulate, you know, testing. But it's worth looking into.
Wow. Okay.
Well, so I better go because it's a playtime. So I told Monty I've got playtime with him, so I'm going to play something where he just tells me what to do, essentially. No, you stand over there and I throw a ball at your head, yeah? So you stand there, that's it. No, I've got to throw another ball at your head now. I got to throw five balls at your head and then now we'll play something else. So, okay, brilliant, sounds good. Any plans, guys, for the weekend? Anything going on in your lives that's exciting? We can, you know, round off the podcast on an upbeat note. Peace. Okay, cheers then. See you. Have a nice weekend, boys.
Okay, bye.
No. Are you anything, Pete? What's going on in your life?
No, too much to mention.
This will be good, actually. It's our prediction, right? As we know, it's a big test this weekend. British Lions, All Blacks.
Yeah.
What do you reckon? Because they came back, they had a cracking win, didn't they, against the Maori All Blacks? And they thrashed them 34-6, something like that. I think it was.
It would be lovely to see them win against the All Blacks, but I just can't see it.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're saying All Black win, yeah?
Yeah.
Steve?
I've not been following it at all, so I can't really comment on it other than
you
guessing.
You can, Steve. That doesn't stop you commenting on anything. Does it really?
This is very true. I'm going to go with All Blacks,
doesn't stop you investing in shares. You know nothing about it. You still put your money in.
Yeah.
Now, working on your theory, Justin, of a two-horse race where you've got an outsider, etc., we should be putting money on the Lions, shouldn't we?
Yeah, but also you should be putting money on the Lions. What I first said, when they got beat in the first regional game, and then they won one and lost two. Oh, they're dreadful. That's when to bet on the Lions on the first test. You know, when there seems like no chance whatsoever of them pulling it off, and because that's definitely. I mean, they may not win, but. Then again, it's worth, you know, you're not going to win any money betting the All Blacks, you know, unless you put a lot down, because you get ridiculous odds for that, wouldn't you?
Yes, true.
Mm.
What's your prediction, Justin?
I'm going to go for a draw.
You can probably get good on.
I'm going for that, a draw. I may have a pound bet on that. All right then, lads. Yes, because I'm a big spender. I never put a lot of money in gambling. I hate it because the odds are stacked against you. You know, like friends of mine are not in stocks and shares, but they like the odd punt on a horse. Don't understand that. And I think I've worked in a bookies, and it's essentially so stacked against you. You know,
essentially I probably lost more money on the shares than I have in gambling.
Yeah, that's because you put bigger chunks in, but you can do as much research as possible on a horse. Mm. There's a lot of others racing against you, you know, so it's different with shares, isn't it? All you have to do is back in one company to win, that's all.
And the race goes on and on and on as well.
Yeah, it does, and you don't lose all your money, you just lose 50% of it. Right, if you're lucky.
Hey, the draw is 28 to 1.
Is it?
There
we are, put a pound on that. And what are they to win then?
All Black 72 on.
Okay.
Lions 10 to 3.
See? Well, 10 to 3, is that all? You've got a lot better odds than that. Because they had to smash them. Anyway. All right, lads. Well, I'm going to go for Lions then. Okay, I'm going to go for Lions. Okay. In fact, let's make a bet with you two, guys. I mean, what odds will you give me for a pound? Pound for Lions to win.
I'll give you evens.
Oh, Steve, a better odds than that?
I don't understand it.
Okay.
I'll give you odds. I don't know what that means.
You give me odds. Thanks, Steve. I'll take Steve's odds. He'll just give me odds.
Good
night. Say 100 to 1, Steve, yeah? That means you can win £100. Yeah?
I confirm nothing.
Just say yes, Steve. Just go.
No.
Okay, 100 to 1 done. Right, long story.
He's being missold. He's better.
Brilliant. Have a nice weekend, lads.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.